To remember and remind ourselves with a short little phrase. If you remember it, say it with me. I am in the ministry. Let's say that again. I am in the ministry. And many of us who see ourselves as being in the ministry, we give of our lives in different ways. Many in here give in ways that none of us will know about. But the amazing thing is we get to know about it when we get to heaven. And I hope that as I play and as I sing, that this song will remind you about that eternal reward, help inspire you to think, how are you giving to change lives? And when I finish, I'm going to ask you not to clap. But if the Lord has stirred your heart during this song, will you let your heart just respond with an amen? Because I don't want this song to be the focus. I want the word that's going to be opened afterwards to be the focus. God's word reminding us that our living is giving. And this is just a song to remind us of that eternal reward. To heaven, and you were there with me. We walked. the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." Then he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart." Made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm here today.
Give and a lot of people give in different areas. Do you see the fans up here going? A couple of our men have purchased them and put them up there. And if you want to see higher ground, you get up there. And but it's neat to have the fans working again. They have been working well for about 20 years. And also, they're cleaner than normal. So that is very, very good. But it takes us all. Is that right? I trust that you realize that giving, you know, thank the Lord for our Sunday school teachers. Thank the Lord for our Wednesday night teachers. Thank the Lord for our junior church. Thank the Lord for all of our committees. Thank the Lord for our janitors and our nursery workers. Is that right? It takes every one of us to make it function, our greeters and everybody. And it's so neat to realize that that's why we're here, to be living, giving people. In Acts 4, verse 32, it just says that when they got saved there, that they were one, and they were one of soul and one of heart. And the stuff that they had, when they provided for the family, they gave and they brought it. And it was so needed to give that. We live to give. And that is so important, living, giving. We give ourselves to God. Now, I'm going to go a lot over these tonight. Tonight, we're going to go through these. The first thing you give to is God. He gave so much to us. Is that right? And we're to give back to Him. We're to serve Him with everything we have. We're to give to our families. Our families are so important. God is the upward, the vertical giving to Him, and the worship and the service and the surrender. And then we have the outward levels of giving. Our first is to our family. Is that true? Our family. God put you in a family so that you can be a light there and blessing in so many areas. We're going to talk about that tonight. And then your church. Your church is a place where, isn't it wonderful to have the church family? And and we're a place here where we make this all happen. And this morning I'm going to be zeroing in on our treasures, on what is traditionally called tithes and offerings. That's our second level. And then our spiritual friends. Aren't you glad you have friends? And that's the third level, where you can connect and encourage and help and share and edify. It's so important. The fourth level of giving, number five, outwardly, is to our fallen world. Do you know there's a world out there that needs Jesus? There's a world all around you that needs Jesus. Some of it's a pretty ugly world, but it's our job to be people that's been given by God. And we give out to Him, to serve Him first of all, to our families, to our church, to our spiritual friends, to our world. And we are to be givers so, so much there in that level. We're going to be talking about that tonight, going into detail of that. And then we are to live to give with our events here, with our stuff. We are to be open-handed. We're going to be talking about this more tonight also. Sacrificing our time. Do you know that every one of us gives our time away every day? You just gave away the last 5 minutes. You can't get it back. Either you waste it, is that right? Or you invest it. And our time is so precious. And today we forget time. Is time just flying? You know, it's the end of February. Can you believe it? And we give of our time. Do you invest your time? We're going to talk about that more tonight. And our talents, our abilities, our skills, our aptitude. I don't have any. Yes, you do. And we give that away. Our toiling, our effort, our serving, our accomplishments. My goal every day, my goal is to accomplish things that pleases God and blesses people. That's the goal of my day. And I set that aside. I got to bless God. I got to obey Him, walk with Him, worship Him. And I want to accomplish those tasks and then bless as many people as I can. And in the end of the day, if I can think of that, it just blesses my soul. that I've put on this earth, that I can do that. And the toils, the labor, and then the tears. I know you all have all T's here, but the tears, compassion and passion and energy. We throw our energy in a lot of areas, but you will spend that. You will give that away. Your treasures, your income, your possessions, your home. Does God own your cars? Does God own all your toys? Nothing wrong with toys. Each of us has toys. And then hobbies. And then I put the iPhone. Does the iPhone dominate our life today? Come on, talk to me. Dominates our life. And then the iPad. How many of you have an iPod. I don't know what they are. The iPods. Okay? They're the music things. And they can just dump. I see all these kids with earplugs in. Is that right? Everywhere you go, earplugs in. They just dominate our stuff. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Great passage here. We think it's just to rich people, but it's to all of us. Do y'all realize if you live in America compared to the world, is every one of us rich? We're blessed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 and 19. Everybody turn to it, please. This is a great text. This morning I'm going to have some text that I printed out. I'm going to come from the Amplified Bible, and it's a hard Bible to carry. It's big, but we're going to do some King James here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, 18, and 19. It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world," and we're all there in America, "that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches." Can riches go as quickly as they come? Woo! In our culture, very much. We need to know uncertain riches. But in the living God, He's alive. He's with us. He gives us all things. Who giveth, catch this, this is why God gives us stuff. He's the giver. He's the great giver. Who giveth us richly, how many things? All things. And why does He give us these things? To enjoy. We are to enjoy. And we in America are blessed, huh? But sometimes we forget that, you know, I have all these things, and these are needs mainly. These needs things. And I am to be a person that is giving to God, giving to my family. It's not me-ism. It's not me for me, you for me, everybody for me. You know, we are to be giving and to our church, our family, and the world, of our time, our talent, our toiling, our tears, and our treasures. And we're to be giving people. And that gives us joy. We're not to be hoarding people, accumulating. We're not to be doing that. Verse 18, that they use their money to do good, that they be rich in what? Not rich in money, but rich in good works. Giving, caring, helping, sharing, bearing, teaching, loving. Rich in good works. Ready to distribute. That is just generous to those in need. And to helping in many, many areas. More than just treasures. Willing to communicate. Always ready. Being ready to share with others. Communicate is not talking. It's sharing, doing, loving, helping. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, against the future, that a future we will experience true life with God, that they may lay hold on real life, eternal life, that we live to give and to help and to care and to understand that living is giving. Tonight we're going to go over all five of these areas and relate them to God and to earth and to man and all of that. But this morning I want to talk about what was Old Testament law. The Old Testament law of giving. I want you to see this. In Luke, everybody turn to Luke 11 verse 42. Luke 11 verse 42. In the Old Testament, it was a law of giving. It was called tithing. I give tithes of all I possess. And there was a tithe. There was three tithes in the Old Testament. There was a tithe for the priests, the Levites, and that was there in Numbers chapter 18. And then there was a temple tithe, the tithe for the feast days to run everything. That was in Deuteronomy 12. And then once every 3 years, there was a tithe to the poor. Okay? And that's in Deuteronomy 14. And then there was offerings. That was law that we were giving. You were giving offerings, special offerings, to build the tabernacle or build the temple. In Exodus 25, it's mentioned there. But the Old Testament, it was a law that you had to give this. And this was the law given. And it was very important. It was God's plan and God doing everything. Look at Luke 11, verse 42. Luke 11, verse 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees. Catch this. This is a tremendous statement here. For ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have done to catch all of the love of God and the justice of God. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the others undone. You should do the tithing. Another translation says it this way: for you are careful to tithe, even of the tiniest income that you would get off of mint or rue or any of the herbs from your herbs garden. You're faithful, you obey, but you forgot the heart, huh? You forgot the heart, and he wanted the heart. And it's so important that when we're giving, that our heart is there. And the Old Testament was just law. And after a while, it forgot the heart. And the Pharisees, they were obeying the law, going through the rules, fasting and tithing and all those functions. But he says, and you even do it of the smallest, tiniest income. But he says, man, I want you to realize that there is the love of God, the justice of God, and the reality of God. And that's what I want more. And that's the Old Testament law of giving. And we're in the New Testament. New Testament grace giving. This is so neat. Look at this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians, let's all turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. Acts chapter 4. In the New Testament, the tithe and the offerings is the standard, is the rule of the Old Testament, and it is good for us today. It's not a law for us today, but he mentioned grace. He wanted us to give. Look at this. This is the best verse in the Bible on it. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. That's the law of the New Testament. Grace giving. And it's beautiful to catch that and realize. First day at Sunday, everybody lay aside, have a plan, and give as God has prospered you. The tithes and offerings of the Old Testament is a good place to begin. But he says, I want you to give it from the heart. From the heart. And in Acts 4, verse 35, they came and laid it at the apostles' feet. They saw the need, and as you read it there in Acts 4, verse 32 to 35, they didn't count everything that was their own, and they started giving and they're taking care of the needs of the people, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and the apostles distributed it like we do here at church. And it was neat how it was taking care of the needs locally, and we're going to get globally here in a moment, but they had needs. The church started to grow, and there was more needy people, and needy functions were going on, and they took that grace giving. You took care of your family, and you had surplus, and you could take care of their need. There'll be a time when they take care of your need, and it was an equal giving and a distributing, and they brought it to the disciples, and they gave it out as needed. In Acts chapter 6, flow to Acts chapter 6, verse 1. The church was growing. There was other functions starting. All of a sudden, there was the Grecian widows and the Jewish widows, and there was some conflict. One was being taken care of better than the other, so they appointed the deacons to take care of this and gathered money and helped all of these people in the daily administration. So there was functioning starting in the church as we do today. And it's pretty neat that the functioning there, let's take care, let's get the deacons and take care of these daily events, these daily expenses, and take care of these daily needs. And the church was growing there with distribution, and then coming in locally with needs and everything. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, everybody go there. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the church is supporting its ministers, is supporting its elders, is supporting its pastors, and supporting its ministries in the church. And in chapter 13 of Acts, verse 2, they laid hands on them and sent them away. When they sent them away, it was the missionaries. They sent them away with prayer, but they sent them away with finances and support. And so it was globally, locally, meeting the needs of people, administration, missions, and that's the local church today. And it's neat to see that, the grace of giving. That's why we do it. And to be a part of that, and everybody realizing, God help me as I give. Don't just give. Don't just give. I'll just write a check for the 10th. Oh, let it be from your heart. Don't let it just be something that you just do. Let it be something that flows, because God wants it. Hey, you gave me everything. I have to give back to you. You're the Almighty. And it's wonderful to watch that in all that we're doing. The best text in the Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 9. Cody's going to come and read this for us in a moment. And just stick with. Then I'm going to go through this chapter, the best chapter in the Bible on giving, grace giving. And it's just beautiful. And to realize that this is God's plan. And it's neat when it all functions and we're all a part of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Cody.
Okay, starting in verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And then drop down to verse 12. It says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men."
Thank you. Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul deals with this grace giving, and he puts a whole chapter here on it, and he talks about it. I'm going to just go through it in the Amplified, and I just wanted you to see that, because it's important here that our grace giving, you know, because of all that Jesus eternally gives us, we give, we live to give, we live to give. I've developed this definition here. New Testament grace giving is the privilege, we're going to see that from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, the joy and responsibility, the obedience to worship God, to worship God. You're praising God, you're saying, God, you gave all to me, I'm giving some back to you. And by generously and sacrificially giving back to Him for all that He has given us to further His work to people locally and globally, through our time, our talents, our toils, our tears, and our treasures. Grace giving, the privilege, the responsibility, the worship. Is that right? It is something. Look at this. This text is wonderful. Everybody, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's look at it. I hope you can see that. Can you see that? Can everybody see that? I tried to put it so you could see it. This is the Amplified. I'm just going to go verse by verse here, and I just wanted you to see that. And you look at your King James, because this just amplifies it a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want to tell you about the grace of God," this giving grace, "which has been evident in the church at Macedonia." Okay, it started in Macedonia. And it says, "wakened in them a longing to contribute." They loved the brothers, and God had blessed them, and this church was hurting over here, so they gave to help this church over here. They longed to contribute, because their life, they've been given so much, they lived to give. And it says, verse 2, "For during an ordeal of severe disaster," they were having all kinds of difficulties and poorness all over the place, "their abundant joy," there it is, "and their deep poverty," they didn't have much, "together overflowed in the wealth of their lavished generosity." Did they have very much? Did they give a lot? Yes. And they we wanted to. The joy. We get to help them. Verse 3. "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability," sacrificially, "they gave voluntarily." That's the plan. It's not a law. It's voluntarily. Verse 4. "Begging us insistently." You know, we want to help you. We got to help you. We live to give. "For the privilege," I like that word, "of participating in the service for the support of the saints in Jerusalem." They just loved giving. They loved the privilege. We got to do this. God has given so much to us. We got to give. Verse 5. "Not only did they give materially, as we had hoped, but first gave of themselves to the Lord and to us as His representatives by the will of God, disregarding their personal interests," their own needs, "and giving as much as they possibly could." Grace giving. Verse 6, "So we urge Titus that as he began it, he should also complete this gracious work among you as well." And so Titus went back and talked to them, gathered it all up, and they were just joyful. They wanted to contribute. They were voluntarily. They were generous. They were giving beyond their abilities. They had the privilege of it. It was wonderful. Verse 7. "But just as that you excel," catch this right here, "in everything," and he's going to tell them, "and lead the way in faith," you excel in your faith, you excel in speech, your talk, your witness, "in knowledge, in your study, in your learning of Scripture, in genuine concerns, helping brothers and sisters, and in your love for us." They've been helping Paul and all the traveling evangelists and all of that. "See that you excel in this gracious work of giving also." You excelled in all these. Now excel in this one. Verse 8. "I am not saying this as a command." Catch that. It's grace giving, not a command. The Old Testament was a command. "To dictate to you, but to prove by pointing out the enthusiasm in others." You know, you've created enthusiasm. You're going to give, and they're going to start giving. And giving just helps, so everybody is given enough to make it. Missions, the church, needs, all over the place. And it says, "The sincerity of your love as well." You started a thing and you're sincere about it. Verse 9. "For you are recognizing more clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here it all comes back. "Because you have given me so much, I want to give back." It says, "You've recognized what Jesus did." And here it describes it again. Verse 9, "For you are recognizing more clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, His astonishing kindness, His generosity, His gracious favor, that though He was rich," living in heaven, perfect, everything. Yet he, for your sakes, he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich, abundantly blessed. That's why we do it. Verse 10, I give you my opinion in this matter. This is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to take action to help the believers in Jerusalem, but also the first to desire to do it. There was a need, and you knew it. You responded to that need. You did it first, and you started a big thing. Verse 11. So now finish this, so that your eagerness in desiring to make be equaled, that it may be equal by your completion of it according to your ability. It's the style of giving, grace giving. For if the eagerness to give is there, it is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. For it is not intended that others be relieved of their responsibility, there's the word responsibility, and that you be burdened unfairly, but that there be equality in sharing the burden. Verse 14, at this present time, your surplus over necessities is going to supply their need, so that at some other time, their surplus may be given to supply your needs, that there may be equality. And that is so important that we catch our privilege, our responsibility, gracious giving. Chapter 9, verse 6. Let's all jump to chapter 9, verse 6. This just says you can't outgive God. Have you learned that? You cannot outgive God. Verse 6, chapter 9, verse 6. Now remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously that blessings may come to others will also reap generously and be blessed. Verse 7. Let each one, here's the key verse, give thoughtfully and with purpose. Not just duty, with thoughtfulness, plan, purpose. Each time, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, not forced or impulsive or obligated or coerced, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Now think about the end of that verse. His heart is in his gift. He gives it, but his heart's there. It's not duty. Old Testament was duty. It was law. And it just kept becoming law, and they just gave it out of law. The New Testament is grace. And you take care of your family, and then what you have that you can generously give and sacrificially give, you bless. And you bless the church, and you bless the administration, and you bless the world. And he says, this is the blessing. And he says, man, don't do it out of you have to. Don't do it because somebody talks you into it. It says, let each be thoughtful and purposeful as he decides in his heart, and that one delights in the whole thing because his heart is in his gift. That's what God wants. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. You can't outgive God. Pretty simple. Verse 12. For the ministry of this service, this offering, is not only supplying the needs of the saints, God's people, but is also overflowing through many expressions of thanksgiving to God. When the people are blessed, are given to, receiving it, they're praising God. You're worshiping and praising God for the privilege of giving it and the joy of giving it. And they're praising God and giving thanks to God for the joy of receiving it. He said, God gets the glory all over the place by your generosity. Verse 13, because of this act of ministry, it's a ministry, it's a worship of God, it's an act where you're just into worship of God and service. They will glorify God for your obedience to the gospel of Christ, which you confess, as well as for your generosity, generous participation in this gift for them and for all the other believers in need. And it's great. Great text here of explaining, because He has given me, I want to live to give of many things. We're going to discuss it all tonight. The privilege here. New Testament grace giving is the privilege, the joy, and the responsibility, the obedience to worship God by generously and sacrificially giving back to Him for all He has given us to further His work to people locally and globally. Amen? To realize this is what God has for us, and it's wonderful to catch it. To be a person that just gives, that's your nature. You realize that you've been given, so you give. And it's wonderful of your time, of your talents, of your toiling, of your tears, of your treasures. It's just not treasure. They weren't excited just for the money. They were excited. They first gave themselves. That's and it's the privilege, the joy, and the responsibility. Don't do it because you have to. You do it because you want to. And you realize this blesses God, this blesses others, this blesses the church, this blesses missions, and this is something that God has that He wants me to enter into this grace, this ministry, and to be a part of it. And I do my part. We all do our part, and God blesses. It's wonderful. New Testament grace giving. And our last verse before I close is 1 Corinthians 16:2. Look at it here. The best verse summarizes it all. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. And the living is giving. It's neat to be able to give. It's neat to be able to meet people's needs. It's neat to bless people. It's neat to do things of putting in stuff in the church like these fans. It's neat to bless people in need of moving, in need of helping, in need of caring, in need of all of our time, our talents, our treasures. Live to give. Living is giving. The people that paid for our Diet Coke, I'm certain were just blessed. We tried to catch them. They pulled off. We didn't know it till they were pulling off and they went another way. But they got blessed. Is that right? And to just be a person that's looking to help at work, to help at school, to help whatever, to meet a need here, a need there, and to realize, that's why I live, to give. And because I've been given by God, I live to give. And I trust the joy of giving, the joy, as traditionally we call it, tithes and offerings, and to realize, God bless me, I want to bless Him. Our church is blessed. We get to do so many things. We get to minister here. We get to do fast car rallies. We get to do so many things. We get to do projects. We've just bought the property over there. We're seeing God do a lot of things. And to realize, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. I live to give. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to surrender all. Help us to be the people that are committed to you because you are committed to us. Lord, help us not to do it because we have to. It's not law, it's grace. And it's because we want to. We love it. We get to be a part of it. We get to be rewarded. We get to be blessed. We bless and God bless us. And Lord, help us to realize that we cannot outgive God. Give each the beauty and the privilege and the blessing of giving and being a part of this great ministry, and bless all. And Lord, just thank you and help us each to say, I surrender all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.